How do you do? Have you ever wanted to crawl in a hole and die? The woman in this story felt that way for years, trying various ways to end the despair that plagued her. Around others, she pretended all was well, and it was when she realized that someone else had crawled in the hole with her, and her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Oh, you poor dog. Someone hit you and left you here in the middle of the road, at the mercy of every car that comes along. I won't hurt you. I want to help you. Now, come on, I'll take you home. Okay, I won't touch you. I'll send someone who knows what they're doing. I know how you feel. Can't trust anybody, can you?
This is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. From their own resources, George and Sarah Clark opened the little storefront mission in Chicago's Skid Row that became Pacific Garden Mission. Seeing so many lost people, their heart ached to share the good news, the way out of despair. They were following in the footsteps of one who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. The mission doors have never closed since 1877, and today, thanks to friends who send financial gifts, the mission daily shelters more than 800 men, women, and children, offering food, fresh clothing, and a safe bunk for the night, even medical and dental care in the mission clinic. Counselors and pastors help them understand their real purpose in life and arm them to withstand temptations when they leave the mission. That victory is what this program celebrates now. For broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3044 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hey, Becca, darling, how was the meeting?
Oh, it was okay. I saw an injured dog on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted to help, but he snapped at me.
Ooh.
He's ready to bite anything that touched him.
Well, better let the pros handle it, huh?
Yeah, I sure felt sorry for it. You could see the pain and fear in its eyes. I know exactly how it feels. Hurt, unable to move.
Last week, we heard how the woman in this story endured her husband's drinking, fighting, and absence from home before his life was transformed. This is the story of how her own life was changed by his. It's the true testimony of Becky Brooks, right now on Unshackled.
As a child, I felt unloved and unwanted. My memories are full of drinking and fighting, divorce and dirty old men. But most of all, I was very lonely. However, when I was a small child, my grandmother took me to a Sunday school, and I was impressed by their prayers. Throughout my traumatic youth, I sought to know God, but I didn't. My husband, Marshall, filled the lonely place in my life, and we married at 19 after we graduated from high school. We never attended a church service the first 15 years of our marriage. Then Marshall was born again and gave his testimony in one church after another.
I was 200 pounds of mean and 100% lost. Gone all the time. I probably smoked 50 pounds of pot. My poor wife, I'd come home at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and she'd be sitting there waiting for me. Then I bought a bar, me and another friend, and y'all know the story. It was in the news how one night there was a shootout just like the Wild West, and three men were shot. Now, they survived, but my way of life didn't. My wife and our son Marty were there that night because Becky kept the books for us. Well, today I'm ashamed that I did that. Had my little six-year-old in a bar and Becky expecting Leo, our second son. At the time, I was sick of my own life. The drinking, the drugs, and fighting, and racing motorcycles all over the country. Well, 6 months after the shooting, I went to see a friend who had gotten saved, and He told me about Jesus.
Your husband has a great testimony, Mrs. Brooks.
It's truly a miracle.
Every time someone gets saved, it's a miracle. Does your husband own the bar?
No, he sold it to his friend.
Good, good.
I mean, Marshall changed overnight. I mean, Friday morning he was drunk and the drug addict I'd lived with for years. And Friday night he became a man who wants to serve God with all of his heart.
So he still owns the motorcycle shop?
Yes, he tells everyone that comes in about Jesus.
Oh, interesting opportunity.
They even have prayer meetings there.
Oh, that's interesting. A Christian biker's shop.
He's thinking about selling his share so he can concentrate on learning God's word.
So, Mrs. Brooks, are you saved?
I've believed in Jesus as long as I can remember.
Have you ever asked Christ into your heart?
Oh, yes, many times.
Then you're saved.
My salvation was far from settled in my mind. After Marshall's salvation, I read every tract I could find and repeated the sinner's prayer on each one. I went to the altar at every service because I could see that salvation brought transformation and I wanted it. Finally, I placed my trust in God's word alone, and in May of that year, I was saved. Weeks later, I was baptized. Within 6 months after Marshall was saved, he gave his testimony in more than 30 churches. He began preaching a bit, and people were being saved.
Becky, people keep asking me if God is calling me to preach.
You're a good one, Marshall.
Well, I've been praying about it, but I can't do it unless God confirms it to me.
Well, how do you think you'll know for sure?
I don't know, but when I find out, you'll be the first to know.
You're completely different, honey.
Well, I have a long way to go, Becky.
I listened intently today as you gave the 5 points about time and eternity.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to leap from my seat.
Why?
Because I lived with a lost man and watched you while God was trying to get your attention.
You mean when Jack was witnessing to me?
Yes.
Well, God was trying to get my attention even before that. All the accidents, the shooting in the bar.
Today I wanted to shout, "Don't you know what's going on? Can't you see it's real?"
Well, I'm glad you didn't.
My soul was leaping for joy. You're so different, Marshall.
Well, the Bible says we are different, completely new when we're born again.
I'm just glad our sons won't be growing up with drinking and violence like I experienced as a child.
Amen.
One Sunday, as my husband and sons were waiting in the car for me to go to worship service, I was inside on my knees reading Ephesians chapter 4. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." I prayed so that my heart would be prepared for worship.
All right, y'all set?
Yes, really set. It's so wonderful to be saved and to know it.
Well, a preacher's wife should know that she's saved.
Honey, you've made the decision?
Yes. God made it clear to me during that Christmas Eve service, honey. I've never been so broken in my life. I'm selling my share of the bike shop, and I'll just work there. See, I have to concentrate on what's important, learning and preaching God's word.
Before we knew Christ, I had been writing poetry to ease the pain in my soul, and I continued writing in my journal as the years passed. My growth in the Lord could be traced by my writings in my journal. Dinner's ready.
Good, I'm starved.
Hey, did you boys wash your hands?
Yes, sir. I helped Leo.
Good.
Now I have to go. I promised Barb I'd babysit tonight.
No, but you haven't eaten.
I'll eat when I get back. She has an appointment with her therapist.
No. Pray with us before you leave, honey. Lord, we praise you for this food and for all your blessings in our life. Be with Becky as she travels, Lord, and bring her home safely. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
One night I saw the injured dog in the road and identified with its pain. By then I was hurting inside because of the weaknesses I saw in others. I'd learned that churches are filled with believers, non-believers, and make-believers. And there were many lessons that God would teach me along the way.
Mom, I haven't seen Billy in Sunday school for weeks now. Are they on vacation or something?
No, they don't attend our church anymore, Marty.
Why?
Well, I don't know why. They didn't say.
Then how do you know they left?
Someone told me.
The least they could do is tell you to your face.
Well, some people aren't strong enough to do that.
Dad's a good preacher. I hear him in his study getting ready to preach the sermons on Sunday.
I know, Marty. He loves and prays for the people at our church and for so many others.
I thought you and Mrs. Barb were friends.
Well, people change, honey.
I'm glad Jesus doesn't change.
No. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And he has promised never to leave us or forsake us. Where are the ladies who called me on the phone? Who couldn't do without me? Who were always in my home? Where are the ladies who had problems galore? Who kept me from washing clothes, from going to the store? Where are the ladies who needed a babysitter? Who always called on me? Oh Lord, don't let me be bitter. Always give me your love and your wisdom. Throughout my childhood, I hadn't learned how to resolve the pain inflicted by others. Regretfully, I carried this into my spiritual life without turning to God's Word to wash the pain and disappointment away. I wanted to cry on someone's shoulder, but not my husband's. He had the cares of the church and so many others. My bottled up anger turned into depression. One day, I visited someone in a nursing home and returned deeply affected.
Yeah, I was just on my way out. Are you all right, honey? You look like you've been crying.
I was.
Why?
Well, I left here in a huff. I just couldn't wait to get away.
Huh?
And then I got to the nursing home, and a woman grabbed me by the shirt and kept saying something I didn't understand. I finally realized she was saying, I want to go home.
Oh, that's sad.
And there I was, practically running from my home, and she was longing for hers. Oh, honey, will that be my end?
Oh, Becky, God was just teaching you his truth. Be content with what you have.
I read God's word, but my despair grew until I was afraid of drowning in my tears, tears that I hid. Each day brought new pain. I read in a medical book the description of my condition and knew that I was very sick. But I dared not tell anyone. My prayers were full of anguish. Hold me, dear God, hold me. Let me get close under your wings. Let me get so close that no evil or ungodly thoughts can reach my mind. Please help me.
Very shortly, we'll learn the rest of Becky's story. It isn't easy for a man to ask directions or admit to anyone that he needs help. Yet, those who come to Pacific Garden Mission clearly need help. The men's division provides a safety net of sustenance and security while they learn a new way to live. From the chapel in the atrium to the workout room, from the computer lab to the kitchen, and from Bible study to prayers, they receive every kind of help to grow in knowledge and wisdom. Men helping men. Since 1877, the old lighthouse has prevented suicides, restored marriages, and given men without hope a reason to live as they provide guidance and introduce them to one who loves them. Some have never heard or understood the gospel, but we never give up on them because there's been many transformations through the years. For more information about this ministry to men, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
Sometimes I couldn't find things. Sometimes I stood and stared into space, unable to focus on anything. Many times I drove along looking for a place to be alone so I could weep. I wanted to scream, cry, tell someone.
My cries to God and reading His Word helped me to see that my attitude toward the problem was the problem. I wrote many poems about my anguish. Gossam, what power you possess. You can kill, you can destroy. The damage you do is evil. It leaves tears and broken dreams. Gossip, you are not wanted around me and those I know. Gossip, I'll serve God undaunted. Oh, gossip, I hate you so.
What you reading, honey?
A medical book. It says chronic bitterness and unexpressed resentment can make a person very sick.
Well, the Bible says the same thing. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones.
But how does a depressed person have a merry heart, Marshall?
Oh, you know the answer, Becky. Jesus. He said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
It's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the recommendations in this book are the same as what God prescribes.
Like what?
It recommends a depressed person to admit their resentment and ask forgiveness.
But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses.
And the resentment leads to guilt.
Now, why are you reading this book, honey?
To help someone in the church.
Oh, darling, the best way to help someone is to point them to Jesus and the Bible.
I knew that my husband was right, and I knew that Jesus would give me all of the answers for life. I had to trust God alone and His Word, and He would clean out the dross in my soul. I had never surrendered the pain from my childhood and even my marriage to the Lord and His Word. But now that it had damaged me, I knew that I had to make a drastic change. First, I repented, and then with great confidence in God's Word, I would now live out what He taught me. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I began to realize that when I crawled in my hole of despair, Jesus had come to help me out. He was the one who led me out into His sunlight. Did you see this letter to the editor in the newspaper?
Not yet. Is it about the liquor vote?
Yes. It says, "Ladies, don't follow preachers on liquor vote."
Huh.
It calls preachers sanctimonious whiners. Oh, it makes me so angry.
Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
Don't worry, I won't. But I'm going to answer this guy.
I can't wait to see what you write.
Even without God's word, I know that alcohol is a deadly poison.
Mm-hmm.
I've cried many tears over people I love and what alcohol has done to them.
And others around them.
I mean, I never lived till Jesus gave me new life. No matter what this guy or anyone else says about the Savior, they can never change what happened in my life.
Amen. Hey, you preach a good sermon, honey.
My letter was published in the paper, even though the alcohol referendum passed. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And it's true. My trials brought me closer to God. Each day was a test, an opportunity to prove His word in my faith. Going through trials also enabled me to help others.
Mom, why is life so hard?
What do you mean, honey?
Well, I mean, you try to do the right thing and nobody cares.
God does.
If you're honest and others aren't, they think you're a loser.
Deep inside, they know better, Marty.
There's no absolute standard anymore.
Yes, there is. God's standard will always be there to judge us.
But it seems that nobody fears God or His judgment.
Marty, we are His children and we must stick to His truth. Be an example to others. You may be the only Bible some people read.
Sometimes I get tired of trying to be perfect. I can't live up to their expectations.
I know, honey. I feel the same way sometimes. But just lean on Jesus, son. He'll help you to become more and more like Him. That's what I do. And forgive them. You're most like God when you forgive others.
You know, Mom, talking to you is better than reading a book. You have a scripture or a common sense answer for everything.
Here I am, Lord, a happy and sad preacher's wife. Happy because you've changed my life, and sad because others won't let you change theirs. I can't do anything to make them accept you, but I can't help getting excited whenever I tell them how you've changed my life. Thank you.
Wisdom comes with experience. I learned never to have such a close relationship that I felt compelled to tell things or answer questions that should not be asked or answered. God began to change me, to cleanse my heart through His Word and through prayer and through my husband's sermons.
The Bible says God is love, and the greatest example of God's love is Jesus. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." You know, Jesus exemplifies God's love to mankind, and His death on the cross is God's judgment on sin. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Saved from what? From eternity in hell, separated from God, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters, salvation is just the beginning. Let Him change you. Trust in the Lord every day for every trial that comes your way. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths."
I had learned so much, and my journal entries changed. I wrote, "Forget injuries, never forget kindness. Only the devil can nurse your hatred." I was rejected, but so were you, Lord Jesus. You loved so much.
You're writing in your journal?
Yeah, I could write a book.
We both could.
When you became a preacher, I took it on myself to mother the church members.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
Except that I took on their heartaches and tried to fix their problems.
Only God can do that, honey.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way. Like that injured dog I saw.
Mm-hmm.
They snap and even bite if you try to help them.
Yeah, it's the sin nature.
I wanted so much for us all to be a big, happy family.
Oh, the church is a hospital full of damaged people.
Hello?
Is this Becky?
Yes. This sounds like a...
Yes, it's me. Now, don't hang up.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
I want to come back to the church.
Praise the Lord.
Am I still welcome?
Of course. We've missed you.
It's been 9 months since I left.
Seems much longer.
The only way that I could look good for leaving was to make you look bad. I'm sorry for that. I hope you forgive me.
Oh, you're forgiven? And we'll be glad to see you again.
My heart wasn't right, so God seemed so far away.
I've been there.
I sure miss hearing pastor's sermons.
Well, come on Sunday then.
I'll be there.
Even though I failed to meet my expectations of being a preacher's wife, I have tried to live up to God's commands and love my world with His love. My expectations for being a preacher's wife were not necessarily God's, and accepting that truth gave me peace. God's lessons and my practical experience in obeying Him helped when Leo, our younger son, left home after high school.
Oh, he won't be back anytime soon, Becky.
I don't understand why he felt compelled to go.
Well, he thinks he knows more than we do.
He's so young to be on his own.
Well, we were his age when we got married.
Yeah, we sure didn't know anything.
Oh, he'll come back when he's ready.
We tried so hard to teach him the right way.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Trust the Lord with him, honey.
Our hearts broke in a million pieces as the years passed and our son didn't come back. I wrote a poem. I close my eyes and turn around, hoping so that you'll be found. Sitting there like before, if only you could, if only you would, walk back in through the door.
I'll sit and wait for that date when my heart will soar. When on that day I turn around, and at last you'll be found sitting there like before.
10 long years passed. Leo married and then went through a painful divorce. I don't have to tell you how overjoyed we all were when he came back home with his boys. Marty called me. Hello?
Mom, Dad just called to say Leo came home.
It's true.
And he's going to bring his sons to church?
Isn't it wonderful?
Oh, we've been praying for this day. Thank you, Jesus.
Waiting was the hard part.
Yes, I wish he could know how we anguished as the years passed.
The devil is always trying to destroy families and marriages.
You and Dad have been great examples for us, and so many others, Mom. My wife agrees.
Jesus is the real example, Marty. He endured so much suffering for us. Leo professed faith in the Lord in 2007 and now witnesses to many others. Our son Marty was saved shortly after our salvation and has remained so faithful to the Lord, his wife, and to his service as a layman at our church through the years. If you have pain, let God cleanse you through His forgiveness and new life in Jesus Christ. He will remove or fix that which was broken, and you can be cleansed each day as you read His Word. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you are seeking God in any other way, listening friend, know that God sent His only Son as a propitiation for your sins, so you could have eternal life in heaven. There is no other way. Trust Him and ask Him to save you. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. Do you know someone who's struggling? Tell them about this program, when and how to listen. And please, take a moment to thank the manager of this station for bringing you Unshackled. This is program number 3044. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. And there's no better time than now to let us know you listen and that you look forward to hearing these dramas. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410. Please note, our new address here at Pacific Garden Mission is 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That's 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607.